Welcome to the all-new Thrive Global Network. Sit back and enjoy the show here on RevMediaTV.com.
Caught ya. You're listening to Mary and Kelly live on Thrive.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to thrive. I came to win, to survive, to prosper, to rise.
Wednesday evening. Welcome to Thrive Weekly Magazine here on Thrive Global Network. How are you, Kelly?
Tired.
Okay. Oh, look what tired. We just got served
up. So she just hooked me up with my coffee.
You are tired. You've had a week and a half.
Yeah. It has been. It's been a great thing, but I'm feeling the effects, which is good. I'm not complaining. It's a good kind of tired, you know.
It is.
It's not a stressful kind of tired.
And we've talked about that. When you're in your purpose, it feels so good.
It does.
So I want to hear all the details. Now, last week, Tichelle was here, and you guys were talking about some of the media events that had been going on. Mm-hmm. What had transpired between Wednesday and Saturday was interview with Box and Friends. Tell me a little about that.
Well, we a producer from the Fox News Channel contacted us and said they would like to interview. You know, they had read the article in the Huffington Post about Tichelle and training with me and all of her accomplishments and all the things she's ever come. So they were really wanting to get her out there. And they asked if we could do it on Saturday. I mean, they waste no time. That kind of stresses me out a little bit because you're like, oh, I'm not ready. No, I mean, you have to be ready.
Right.
So we corresponded back and forth with them, telling the details of the story. Then they called and we kind of like a pre-interview over the phone so they would know all the details. And so we had to go to the Atlanta Fox News Channel studio and on Saturday morning. We did the interview. Actually, we were in Atlanta. The interviewer in New York. We didn't even see her until we were done. I had no idea what she looked like.
So were you looking at a green screen?
There was a monitor. We could see ourselves, but then when we actually went live on air, they turned the monitor so we couldn't even see ourselves. So they just told us to look at the camera.
Oh wow!
That's what we did.
No.
So, yeah.
I bet that was a bit awkward.
It was. It went fast though. You know it. Once you get started, it's just like, oh God, you know, I don't even remember what you say.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, they were interviewing us from their New York studio. So it was quite an experience. It was wonderful. Yeah, it was a wonderful opportunity.
What about the lights? How was the lighting?
It was very bright.
I've heard you have to fight not to squint.
Yeah, you really do. And what you saw on TV, that's not what it looked like at all. The scenery behind us, it looked like it was real.
Right.
You know, like we were sitting in front of a window, but that was just another screen behind us with a recording of the traffic outside. I don't know. And everything else was black. It was just like black wall. At the end, everything was black. The floors, walls, ceiling. And so it was pretty dark in there until they turned on the spotlight. And, you know, it didn't look anything like that when we were looking at the picture on our computer screen.
I bet it's hard for you to fathom it was going around the world.
Yeah.
When you're in this, you know.
A small room we were in. It was hard to fathom that we're sitting in this little room and it was going all over the world. And it really didn't sink in, really. I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't really. I was nervous to begin with, but once we got started, we were good.
You're on a roll. Have you seen it? Have you heard the whole thing?
I watched it after the fact, and that's when I got to see our interviewer. And
that's what she looks like.
Yeah. And I, you know, beforehand, I had to send in a lot of the pictures and video that I had made of our training sessions and that had been made during the races that Tichelle had done. So, you know, I didn't know how they had incorporated all of that into the segment until after when I watched it. It was really neat how I liked the way they showed her out in videos and walking, you know, the race and all the pictures.
Yes.
They did a really good job with that.
You won't be able to see that now, but I did want to play the interview. It's a 3-minute interview in case you missed it, so you can hear the audio of it. And here is Kelly and Tichelle last Saturday on Fox and Friends.
53 minutes after the hour, Tichelle Florence suffers from a neuromuscular disorder called Friedreich's ataxia.
Here we go again.
53 minutes after the hour, Tichelle Florence suffers from a neuromuscular disorder called Friedreich's ataxia. It robbed her of her ability to walk at age 19. Her doctors told her she would never walk again, but with the help of a fitness trainer, she proved them wrong. Within just a few months, Tichelle was not only out of her wheelchair, but participating in races. Check her out. She's currently training for another. Here with their amazing story is Tichelle Florence and her personal fitness trainer, Kelly Williams. Good morning to both of you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Kelly, I'm with you because you noticed Tichelle here in the grocery store and a perfect, complete stranger, but you decided to speak to her at all the way.
I saw her and her fiance in the grocery store on a Saturday. I was rushing through. I had never seen her before, but I just noticed a young girl, a beautiful girl in a wheelchair, and it hit my heart to see that. I was hurrying through the grocery store, and as I was heading out to my car after I got what I needed, I noticed that she was too. And I just had an overwhelming, a very powerful feeling that I needed to offer her my services. I had no idea what her mission was, but I just felt very strongly.
And you're a personal trainer, but not somebody who typically deals with scenarios like you didn't have to come forward, you didn't ask for any. It's a really neat thing you're doing. Tichelle, what has this meant to you? And when you first started out, were you a bit hesitant because the doctors told you you were never going to be able to do anything like this?
Yeah. I actually met with several different kinds of physical therapists, and Lori wasn't really told me. So I was like really scared and nervous and didn't want to get, but my boy was like, well, she, you know, approached us. She's like, you can at least give her a shot.
Yeah, and boy, have you taken it. You're able to cook dinner for your family now and walk up the stairs to your daughter's room. Tell me, how good does this make you feel, and would you encourage other people, whatever their gifts and talents are, to do something bigger themselves?
Yes, you know, it was all about taking a chance. I didn't know what her condition was. I just knew that, you know, if you try anything, anything is possible. Our message together, Tichelle and I, in this process is never give up. You know, if you take a chance and invest in someone else, and change their life, and it has also changed as well to see what has transpired for her and how her life has improved. I'm just overwhelmed, and it's such a simple feeling to be
overwhelmed too. It's why we wanted to have you on and to show as we go. I understand you're training for one more race. What's that?
The Fuzz Run is coming up September
13th. Well, let us know how it goes. Good luck to you. Thank you so much for both of you.
Thank you.
And actually, one more race. That's probably, she's on a roll. It's not going to be just one more.
Oh, no. It's not just going to be one more. And she's now decided she wants to climb Stone Mountain. So we're going to be training for that after we get the Fuzz Run behind us. And that will be a huge, huge ordeal and a huge accomplishment for her.
Yes, I agree.
So we're going to be working on that as soon as we get the Fuzz Run behind us.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, as a member of the media, you handled it very well. Mm. It can be tricky.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know what to say and what not to say, but you did very well.
Thank you. I was, you know, they really don't give you much preparation and information. You just kind of have to go with it when you're there. You know, they did not tell us at all how it was going to transpire. We just got there and did it. So,
and you did it very well.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to see more. You guys are going to just, I really believe in what you're doing, and I believe in Tichelle, and I think it's just going to hit like fire.
I believe so too, because it's a message of hope, and our world craves that.
Yes, we
do. And so I believe that's why people are latching onto it.
Yes, I believe so too. Well, coming up, speaking of hope, let's go there. Let's talk about the persecution going on around the world. Because that's our sisters in Christ experiencing this. And, you know, we never know when it's going to hit right here in our own backyard. So we'll be right back.
Kelly and Mary broadcast each week from Square Park Cafe, located on the square in historical Covington, Georgia. Patrons savor home goodness and sip on fabulous coffee. It's no wonder Square Park is known as the place where friends meet. Visit the place Kelly and Mary call home for Thrive Weekly Magazine, like their Facebook page, or give them a call, 678-712-6464. We'll be right back.
I don't know about your coffee, but I got a mountain of
rain
on my wipe in my mouth.
It's got a mustache over there, Mary.
I know. If it's on my nose, you will tell me.
I would not leave you hanging like that.
Okay. Then we know why the flies were buzzing around.
Because we have stuff all over our face.
Oh, wonderful people here. Well, we have been keeping up with the what's going on over in Iraq, the Christians that are now trapped on top of the mountain. Tragic.
It is. And I can't even begin to fathom. We really can't comprehend.
Mm-mm.
Really can't.
I put my place in you know, the mothers. You know, they've shown the babies, them going in and just confiscating the children from towns. And I laid awake one night, just the horror of it.
Yeah. And, you know, we see it, we hear about it, and we go about our day. You know, but to really sit and think about what those women are going through, and what if that were us?
Yes.
You know, sometimes we have to really just stop and put ourselves, try to think about how it really would be, you know, instead of just dismissing it and going about our day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are very fortunate to live in such a liberal country.
Yes.
You know, they're experiencing, even before the persecution, the women in the Middle East do not have the same rights or gifts or freedoms that we experience.
Right.
You know, we dress the way we want to dress. Mm-hmm. We don't have to put a veil over our face.
Yeah.
We don't have to walk behind our husbands,
right.
You know. We don't deal with different, you know, religious rituals that would be demeaning to us.
And what we can be ourselves, you know, we can have a voice, we can openly worship and talk about Christ, and you know, we don't have to worry about hiding ourselves. It's like they have to hide themselves and everything about themselves.
That's true. And if you go back to the Bible days, you know, it, not much has happened, because back then Jesus took up for the underdog when he walked the earth, and women were the underdog he took up for. And I just, you know, not speaking against any group or anything, I just feel like when women, when their heart breaks, even in the Middle East, I know he sees it.
Oh, he does. He does. And can you imagine how he must minister to those women in the situation that they're in?
Yes, yes.
You know, he always meets us where we are.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Mike and I were talking about, you know, just facing that moment of persecution where, you know, change your mind or, and you deal with the ramifications of that. And the only way I can come to terms with making that decision is if it played out like Stephen. At that moment, I had such an overwhelming peace and had such a vision of what I was going into.
Right.
That what was happening at that moment and what I was leaving didn't even enter my mind, you know?
And I believe, you know, I can't help but believe that in that moment, God is there to impart that peace.
Yes.
How could he not? I believe it's the same as, you know, when someone passes from this world into another that is
exactly.
a Christian. He gives them what they need at that moment so that they can pass into heaven with a peace and not a sadness or a fear, you know?
Yes. I've heard the story of, you know, people calling loved ones who have gone on before them or reaching their arms up or saying they see Jesus. Why wouldn't he minister to martyrs in the same way?
I believe it. I believe he does. Why would he not? Especially for those who are giving up their life for their love of God, you know?
Mm-hmm. Have you, has it caused you to re-examine where you stand and what you would do if you were in that situation?
Yeah. And it's so hard to, you know, it's so easy for us to say, oh, I know what I would do.
Yes.
You know, but really, do we know what we would do? You don't know. Mm. But yes, I have given it a lot of thought, and I know what, You know, I know that ultimately I would have to sacrifice my life for Christ if I had to, mm-hmm. you know. No way that I couldn't,
yes.
you know, but I know that, not that it's about rewards, but I know that there is a special reward for that.
Yes,
there has to be.
I believe that too. Mm-hmm. And I've re-examined my life, and it's like, I know if that moment came, I know what I would do. Mm-hmm. I just hope that I could face that moment with the same courage,
right,
and the same bravery that others seem mm-hmm. to.
And again, I think that goes back to what God imparts in that moment.
Yes, yes.
The brave, the courage. Yeah, yes. Yeah. The courage, the bravery, the strength. Mm. You know, how else could you do it? There is no other way.
Yes. And I'm seeing a lot on social media, you know, a lot of women and people in general saying, well, I can't look at that because, you know, it would just bring me down. There's nothing I can do about it. But what we have to realize is in three different studies done this year in 2014, America is leading all other countries in persecution. It's not violent death that Middle East is experiencing, but we're having our rights taken away.
Yeah.
And it's and this poll even said it's Christian versus Christian now.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, look at Hobby Lobby, look at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
If we think that we can escape what's going on over there, we can't.
No, they're absolutely not. And, you know, I believe that what we have seen here is only going to increase. I mean, the Christian versus Christian.
Yes.
That's only going to increase. I see it everywhere.
Yes.
You know? I see it in just our, you know, local churches.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
And it's very saddening, but that is the reality of the way that I believe the prophecies are unfolding.
Yes. Yes. And it's even a bigger call to action. Know what you believe and know why you believe it to be able to stand at that moment when you're given an ultimatum and say, okay, well, I'm going to answer this way because my pastor has told me to answer this mm-hmm. way. I don't think you're going to have that courage, but I think now you need to know what you believe, why you believe it, so you can encourage other believers.
Yeah. And it's, you know, that's what we all need. You know, everybody needs to be encouraged, even in their faith.
Yes.
You know, we all need that. But it gives us strength to know we're standing together.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the good part of it is God's aware. And like you said, and like I believe, and I've heard many Christians say at that moment.
Yes.
Whether it's sooner or later, you're going to have that peace.
Yeah. He'll be right there. I have to believe that.
In the meantime, whether you're in Iraq or Syria or Africa, you know, this has been going on 4,000 years.
Yes. Yeah.
Persecution, it's worse now. In fact, the studies say in the last year, it's like doubled persecution.
Right.
But, you know, I know God mm-hmm. knows what he's doing. He's still in control.
Yes. And, you know, it sometimes it's like, why? People ask, why does God allow this? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we'll never have all the answers. We just have to trust him in the process.
That's right.
And stand firm in our faith.
That's right.
Because that's where we're going to find our security and our strength.
That's right.
To face whatever comes.
That's right. And pray for those facing it abroad.
My prayers are so with them, and I have not stopped.
Absolutely. My mother's heart breaks. I do what I can, and that's to pray.
That's the best thing.
And that's the best thing we can.
Yes.
Well, coming up, you're going to give us some health and fitness tips.
Yeah.
Get us through the next week. We'll be right back.
Thrive Weekly Magazine is interested in the spiritual, emotional, and physical aspect of our listeners, and has devoted the last segment of each show to health and well-being. As always, before starting a new fitness routine or altering treatments of any kind, please consult your physician. We'll be right back.
Okay, so this what I felt like I needed to cover, it necessarily is fitness, mm-hmm. but it definitely plays a part in the fitness world, but in our life in general. As a personal trainer and working with people in the gym, I have to be constantly encouraging, you know. It's a difficult thing these people are doing. It's hard. And, you know, they need encouragement and to know that they're doing great and making progress. It just takes a lot of encouragement. So,
right.
You know, that I have to, that's part of my job, you know, to be an encourager. But I really felt like that I came across this and I thought this really hit home with me. And it was a little article I read on how to be an extreme encourager.
Oh, wow.
And and I want to read what this says, right, at the beginning of this article. And it's so true. This person that wrote this article said, long ago when I first shared my dream of becoming a professional musician with one of my friends, she knitted her brows and said, huh? The dire warnings she fired off didn't surprise me. Hey, most of us had a lifetime filled with this kind of practical advice, and I was used to giving up in the face of it. During this fumbling, stumbling time, I met a man who became an unlikely best friend and mentor. He was a brilliant jazz musician, as well as a self-employed computer programmer. One night, I told him my dream. Without even blinking, he said, honey, you'd be fabulous. That's perfect. And he meant it. At that moment, I felt like flying. I had never experienced such direct and truthful support without a single practical warning attached. This friend set me free by offering one simple thing, encouragement. That moment was not only the launch point of a successful path for me, but also for me choosing to be an encouraging voice to others. Encouragement is more than just a fleeting moment of motivation. It's a genuine boost of hope and glimpse of possibility. Yes, there might be work to be done, but encouragement reminds us that it can be done. Think about the last great idea you had or the last big decision you needed to make. Who did you most want to call for support and solutions? Be that person. It's called being an extreme encourager, and those of us who choose this role would love it if you join us. And then she went on to point out some rules of being an extreme encourager, and they really are accurate. An extreme encourager is a leader. You know, if you're, it just comes with the territory, it seems. Whether you're a business owner, an artist, you must own your role as a leader. What this means is that you take seriously the enormous impact and influence you have on the people around you. You take it serious, and right. You implement that in your daily life. An extreme encourager models a courageous life. You can't necessarily encourage someone to do something if you have not been there, done that.
That's
you
true.
Know,
that's true.
You have they have to see that you've walked the walk, you know, that mm-hmm. you are courageous and you can speak with that boldness because you've done it yourself.
Right.
An extreme encourager actively listens. You know, people want to share their dreams, their visions, their goals. You have to listen to know the heart of the person and what drives them and motivates
right.
them. But
right.
sometimes that's all they need. An extreme encourager acknowledges fear, but doesn't give it power. So, you know, there's always a risk involved in taking a big, giant step, you know, in a direction that doesn't seem logical, maybe.
Right.
But you just, you know, it is fearful at times, but you don't give in to that fear.
Yes.
You be brave. And you just move forward. An extreme encourager believes in miracles as well as work. So, you know, I believe that there's both involved. It takes work and it takes divine intervention as well, you know,
yes,
from God
yes.
to help us along the path to do those things that we need. You know, we need that. We have to have faith, but we need that power behind it. God's
right,
power.
Right.
An extreme encourager knows that the goals shape the goal setter. Couldn't get that out. The goals shape the goal setter. In other words, you're ready now, even if you're not perfect yet. You can't wait until all conditions are right to go for your goals. You know, you set the goals and you become who you need to be in the process.
Right.
So
right.
if you wait for everything to be perfect, you'll be waiting forever.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And that is pretty much what I was like. I read that and I was so excited because the world needs more of those.
Yes.
People.
Yes.
And what the wonderful thing about it, and I've seen this in in my career in ministry is that as you do that, you get to see the results of it, you know, and how fulfilling is that to know that your voice of encouragement calls someone to take a step that they may not have taken and then they're successful.
So,
that you're changing lives just by being an encourager.
Amazing. That is so neat, because I read an article a few days ago on encouragement. It's like, you know, that is so, I think people don't realize how powerful a word of encouragement is.
It is so powerful. And always put yourself in someone's shoes. If you were in their position, what would you need for someone to say to you? Then apply that. What would you need? What would you want from someone else? And do that for someone.
True. The right word at the right time changes lives.
And, you know, anything is possible. People need to know that nothing is impossible. Mm-hmm. You know, if you try something and it doesn't work out, well, that doesn't mean that it's a failure. It just means there's another way to get to the end result.
That's true.
You know.
That's true. So. Everybody wants hope.
Yes. Everybody needs hope. Yes.
And all you have to do is say the word.
So be an encourager.
An encourager.
Just, you know, sometimes you just have to make it a part of your day. You know, make it a point every day to encourage someone, whether it's in a small situation or maybe they have a huge decision to make. You know, be an encourager. Try to make it a point to be an encouragement to someone every day.
Right. And it's pretty easy with social media.
You don't have to pick up the phone. And sometimes that encouragement is a compliment.
Yes.
You know, just to compliment someone, you're doing so great with that, or I love what you just said, or you look fantastic today. That, you know, sometimes that is, that in itself is an encouragement.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. That got me excited.
I know.
I get excited about that.
The ministry of encouragement. Somebody once told me that is a true ministry.
It is.
The ministry of
encouragement.
It
sure is. It absolutely is. And it's a big ministry. It's so vitally important.
And right now, there's job security.
Yes, there is. There will always be job security.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you. I know you're tired, but you did awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Coffee I'm encouraging helped me. You.
Thanks for the encouragement, Mary. I needed it.
And the coffee did help.
Yeah, you and the coffee, I've made it through.
And you guys go out and have a great week, and we will see you next week here on Thrive Weekly Magazine.
If you enjoyed today's show, drop us a line and let us know. Our email address is thriveradiotalkshow@gmail.com. We are also on Facebook. We have a group page, and that's Thrive Radio Talk Show. Kelly is also on Facebook, Kelly Davis Williams, K-E-L-L-Y-E, Davis Williams, and myself, Mary Nicholson. We will see you next week for another show.
I came to win, to fight.